Good morning. You are listening to Royalton Community Radio, 96.5 on the FM dial and always streaming on the internet with rebroadcasts of shows available. Just go to the pull-down link for rebroadcasts, and you're in business. So, I'm Henry Swayze, and welcome to Green Scene. I am doing the show solo today, and we're going to kind of start off with a party mode. And so here's some party music to start us off. I guess it would help if I had that channel up. Well, there's the channel I need. That's better. Michael Doucette and little Cajun music. So the reason we're having a party is that I went up to the Burlington Dorset Street Mall and joined the party there on the 18th and No King's Day. And it was an interesting event because there were people who were sort of angry about where things were at, but the overall tone was one of community and having fun together and being pleased to see neighbors. And I had a woman beside me who was from one of the communities in Burlington, kind of a reasonably close community, and she kept spotting people from her neighborhood and introducing them to each other. So the party puts the lie to the Trump administration's and the Republicans demonizing all the wokeness and things and how angry and hostile we are, when in fact, it's time for a party. So humor is part of this as well. And with that in mind, this is, you know, I'm straying into a little bit of political territory here, and not our normal venue, but I just think this having fun with life is so important that we can use this as a way of moving forward, a way of putting the humans back on track. So for Bird Note, we will also tap into humor and bad jokes that have to do with birds. I had to dig a long way back in their archives to find this, and the bad jokes are bad jokes, but it's humor.
Good evening, ladies and birds. This is Bird Note. Looking for a bad bird joke? Listen up. Two seagulls, Gertrude and Heathcliff, are standing around. Gertrude says, "Have you seen the latest model cars?" Heathcliff says, "Yeah, I just spotted one."
I got one for you, Michael. A pigeon, pacing up and down anxiously in Central Park, sees his friend hop up on the curb. "Where you been? I've been waiting here for hours." The new arrival looks around and says, "It was such a nice day," I says to myself. "What the heck? I'll walk."
Here's one. Two hunters were out on the marsh duck hunting. One says to the other, "We're not having much luck today getting any ducks." The other one says, "Maybe we're not throwing the dog high enough."
Okay, here we go. What do little birdies see when they get knocked unconscious? Think about it.
So, what would you get if you cross a chicken with a ghost? A poultrygeist!
Man. All right. Why did the chicken go to the seance? To get to the other side?
Okay, Mary, here's one for you. I planted some bird seed, and a bird came up. Now I don't know what to feed it.
That was pretty good. This one will quack you up. How do you turn a duck into a soul singer? Put it in the oven till it's Bill Withers.
Oh. If you're still listening, and even worse, if you want more, you'll find a link on our website, birdnote.org. I'm Michael Stein.
And I'm Mary McCann.
Yeah, all the way back to 2013 to get that one. So before we go any further with this ramblings on humor and pushing back, we ought to give you a hint of where the rest of the show is going to go when we got done with this segment. And we're going to have Matthew Smith, who's the outreach manager for Efficiency Vermont, and he's going to be our guest today and talk about how you can make your houses cozier, less expensive to heat, how to do it yourself, quick and easy, and all the programs that Button Up Vermont are offering and the workshops coming up on learning more about that. So around 20 after, we'll have him on the show. So I'm back to the protests. And there's a guy that got himself a frog outfit. Big bulgy eyes, very comical looking frog. And Bill McKibben flagged this, I think 2 weeks ago in one of his blogs, that this green frog decided that he would go and hang out at where the ICE officers were. And so he went every day, and it annoyed them to have him standing there with a little sign that says, Frogs Together Strong. And here are the ICE people, and they're in their camouflage outfits, and they've got their walkie-talkies, and all of them are wearing gas masks because it's dangerous and someone might attack them. And also, no one can face ID them when they have a gas mask on. So, and somewhere along the line, the ICE people said, I think we'll make this guy go away. And they put a little puff of mace into the fan that inflates his suit. So he now has mace inside of his breathing environment. And he went away. But he came back the next day. And someone caught a video of it. And it went viral. And then they did a FundMe campaign, and yet another person organized a truck and took all the money from the GoFundMe campaign and bought all nature of inflatable suits. And they've been out there since then in the parades. And they add a level of party and comedy and put the lie to the Trump administration that these are violent affairs. And so here's a little clip of one of Heather Cox Richards' commentaries, the last just few seconds of it, where she's mentioning this.
How much difference will the No King's Day protests, even as big as they were, make in the face of the administration's attempt to get rid of our democratic political system and replace it with authoritarianism? What good is an inflatable frog against federal agents? Scholar of social movements Lisa Corrigan noted that large, fun marches full of art and music expand connections and make people more willing to take risks against growing state power. They build larger communities by creating new images that bring together recognizable images from the past in new ways, helping more people see themselves in such an opposition. The community and good feelings those gatherings develop help carry opposition through hard moments. Corrigan notes, too, that yesterday, every single rally, including in the small towns, was bigger than the surrounding police force available. That kind of image event is very important if you're demonstrating social coherence against a fascist government and its makeshift Gestapo. Such rallies bring together multi-generational groups, and the playfulness can help create enthusiasm for big tent politics against the monoculture of fascism, Corrigan writes. The frogs and unicorns and dinosaurs will be defining ideographs of this period of struggle.
Letters from an American was written and read by Heather Cox Richardson. It was produced at Soundscape Productions.
So Heather Cox Richards does one of these pretty much 5 days a week. They tend to be fairly lefty. So the right wing's approach to this, the Trump administration's official X site, or social media site, they responded with a picture of Trump and a picture of Vance with crowns descending on them from above. So that was their pushback for social media. Let's see if I can get back. The second thing they put out was Trump flying an airplane. And this is the administration putting this out. Flying an airplane over the cities, one would assume they're the eastern or western cities, the blue states, and he's dropping poop out of the airplane. So that's their idea of having a good time. And I have another piece of music, which I have to figure out how to get into. It is John the Revelator, because this, I believe, is a is kind of a way of bringing a new vision of the world. Oh, there we are. Let's see if this is it. So I dig back into the early 1900s to get this recording.
Well, who's that riding? John the Revelator. Who's that riding? Who's that riding? Hey, book of the seven, tell me what's John riding? What's John riding? What's John riding? Hey, book of the seven, father, who are we? White has cried a holy, bound and fold, son of our God.
So a revelator is someone that's bringing the truth to the population. And I think that's a role of humor. Bring truth to the public. All right. So enough of the revelator. That's a stretch. That's very biblical. But I thought it was appropriate. So in these various marches, there's a collection of pictures. I'll put all these links up on the Greenzine links page. But there's a collection of pictures that are people's fun things they did, or commentaries on the world for No Kings. And so this one is a shark, a blue shark, and it has a poster with it. We love democracy. Jaws for Justice. These are from New Hampshire, actually. And another one, a very large-eyed bunny rabbit or yellow thing. Maybe it's a big bird. Trump, I know where you live. Poking fun at this. And someone in a very white glacial costume with icicles dripping off the sleeve, clunk off ice. And two people, one of them is a shark-like creature, and the other one is a piggy, and they're hanging out with a No King sign. And I think it's the last one. A dinosaur, democracy, I eat fascists. Oh, one more. A green frog man without an inflatable suit, just in a totally green painted body stocking. No kings. 1776, and in the background there is a many-horned pink animal. So probably the best one I saw, there's our guest, so I won't tell you about the one I saw. We'll get our guest on. Hello, is this Matthew? Well, I lost him.
I heard you say hello, good morning, but that's about all I heard.
Okay, are you there? Hello, Matthew?
Yep, I'm here. Good morning, Henry.
Hope you're
doing well on this Thursday.
Thank you very much for coming and joining Green Zine. I'm a little clumsy in running the board. That's usually Todd's job, and he's off visiting his family out in Albuquerque. So I'm having to do that on my own. Anyway, you are on air, and you're with Efficiency Vermont in charge of outreach, and you've got a lot of things going on right now. You're in a button-up campaign. And let's dive into it and see what little things and what big things you people have cooked up. That you sent me quite a lot of material and some of the presentations that you've done for the public, and they're very thorough.
Yeah.
and give a lot of information.
Yeah, well, thanks, Henry, for the opportunity to kind of talk about Button Up and Efficiency Vermont. I guess just a quick way of intro here. My name is Matthew Smith. I'm the public relations manager at Efficiency Vermont, and I do a lot of these kinds of presentations where we're just talking to folks in Vermont, communities, towns, cities, villages, and just kind of encouraging them to think about ways to button up their home for winter, make their home more comfortable, more energy efficient in the coming winter months. Sometimes that can be a small thing, like, you know, address a leaky window, do a quick do-it-yourself or DIY project. Sometimes it can be thinking about a more comprehensive project, like a full-on weatherization of your home. But, you know, just to give you a sense of Button Up, it's not just Efficiency Vermont. It's kind of a statewide campaign that we do every fall. Efficiency Vermont is certainly part of it, but we've got other organizations like utilities, communities, town energy committees, citizens, community action agencies that offer weatherization for free weatherization for income eligible Vermonters, Vermont Gas and Burlington Electric were at an event yesterday with Governor Phil Scott. He invited Button Up to join his weekly press conference, and we got the word out there. So it's really a coalition of partners that make this event happen each fall.
That's spectacular. And it is, I guess it's been annual for quite a number of years now, but the more programs come along, and even though we have had a lot of federal money that has seemed to have disappeared, the program seems quite alive and well, and somehow people have tapped into other sources to be able to keep this alive. And my hat's off to you for doing that.
Well, thanks. And yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Henry, because, you know, if people have heard about home energy rebates in the news lately, they're probably hearing news stories about federal tax credits that might be coming to an end for certain home energy improvements, or, you know, the EV tax credits that ended at the end of September. So I just want to make it abundantly clear, the rebates that I'm talking about today, the support from Efficiency Vermont for a button-up project, or from your local utility, whether it's your electric utility or a gas utility, those aren't going anywhere. They're available now. They'll be available next year and into the future. So yes, these federal tax credits are ending, but the rebates that are available in Vermont from your state energy efficiency utility, like Efficiency Vermont, like Burlington Electric, or your electric utility, those rebates are still available. So don't think there's not an opportunity to save and get support for doing these projects. Those are alive and well here in Vermont, thankfully.
So I kind of queried you in my last email to you. Do you think that there is a lot of people who are kind of stuck in the renter's market where they've got a landlord that maybe doesn't care too much about if the renter is paying the heat bill, tightening up the house anymore? Do you think that's a noticeable portion of the work that needs to be done in that category? Or do you think it's really spread out pretty broadly that with Vermont having the oldest housing stock in the country, that there's just a heck of a lot of tightening up to do everywhere?
Yeah. It's hard to say. I don't think it's any one thing, Henry, because like you said, Vermont has some of the oldest housing stock in the country. I think according to the Vermont Housing Finance Agency, one in four homes was built before the 1940s here in the States, here in Vermont. And that is definitely some old housing stock. So even if things were insulated in the past, they might need some additional insulation or air sealing. You know, we were at a home from the turn of the century, the previous century, not the most recent one, in Burlington yesterday with Governor Scott and the Vermont Energy Co-op. They were doing a weatherization project. First time the homeowner, who had been in that home for over 40 years, had been able to consider weatherization. And that's a home where I talked to somebody who had been doing weatherization in homes in Vermont for over 30 years. And he said, you know, it just wasn't a priority. It wasn't built that way, you know, in 1900, in 1930. And even now, the idea, the concept of building science and how when you build that home, you should be insulating those walls and that attic and air sealing around anything that might be going through the walls or ceilings or the roof, that just wasn't part of how they thought about building. So, you know, it's a constantly evolving topic, this building science. So whether you're a renter who is not feeling comfortable or warm in your home, there are ways you can address those concerns. Some of it might also be trying to have those conversations with your landlord, because there are a lot of rental property owner programs where, you know, you can talk to the property owner and say, I'm really having trouble with my unit, and I know there are programs from Efficiency Vermont or Vermont Gas that can make this more comfortable, more affordable. Can we engage with them? But like you said, Henry, I also have a list of some things that, you know, folks can do right now on their own to, you know, kind of reduce the energy they're using at their home. And, you know, it might add up to, you know, a couple dozen, maybe $50 over the course of a couple weeks, a couple months, but you know, that every penny saved is helpful, especially with, you know, heating fuel prices the way they are and everyone just needing to get the most out of the energy they're already using.
Yes, indeed. And quite separate of just the comfort. When I moved to Vermont, my wife and I bought a house that had been modernized in that it actually had an oil furnace in it. It had been heated with wood before that, with a central wood furnace. And it was probably an 1870s house. And we started tightening it up. And one of the biggest differences we found was that the difference between the ceiling temperature in the room and the floor temperature. If you were sitting on the couch and you wanted to be warm, you had to get the floor temperature up at least to maybe 60 or 65, but the ceiling temperature would be sitting up there at 80. And it was just because the house was just so leaky that it was, we were living in a chimney is what we were doing.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, your experience is pretty common. You know, we all know that heat rises, and so the heat you're generating to keep your house warm is going to rise, and it's going to escape through the way air moves through any building, through any home. There will inevitably be leaks in the home where hot air will escape, and everyone has a basement or a crawl space or somewhere where their home is meeting the ground, and that's where cooler air can kind of come in through cracks in the basement or lower stories, vents in your bathroom, hatches, things like that. So, yeah, every home, no matter the age or how well prepared it's been in the past, there's ways you can address where the warm air is leaking out and where the cool air is kind of coming in. And again, like you said, Henry, it is definitely about comfort. You know, you want people to feel comfortable, safe, and warm in the winter. And the added benefits, of course, when you button up a home, you're also saving money because you're not spending as much money on energy. And you're also saving that energy because you're using less fuel, less wood, less electricity to keep warm. So it really has a lot of benefits when we talk about the buttoning up of a home.
So you said you had some list of things that if you just want to kind of get started on a budget that might knock $20 or $50 a month off of your winter heat bill that someone could do by themselves. And then maybe after we think about those quickies, those easy low-hanging fruit, then maybe you could get into some of the more rigorous campaigns that would really make a house efficient and comfortable long-term.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy to get into that list, Henry, if you like. But before I do, can I make a pitch to folks who be listening right now?
Go for it.
Really, I've got a list of things folks can do, but really, I think a great first step is what we call a free virtual home energy visit from Efficiency Vermont. This is available for folks all over Vermont, and it's a great resource to really learn about your home, whether you're renting a one-bedroom apartment or you've got a brand-new home or even an 1870s home. These virtual home energy visits give you an understanding of how your home is using energy, where it's doing it efficiently, where it can improve efficiency, and it gives you an opportunity to ask specific questions. So what a virtual home energy visit is, an energy consultant who is an employee of Efficiency Vermont right here in Vermont, they're very familiar with our climate and also the type of housing we have in our state. They do a 90-minute video call where they walk around where you walk around your home and, you know, video call if you're comfortable or just a phone call if that's your preference. And they'll say things like, show me your heating system. Show me your attic. How old is that furnace? Do you see any insulation in that crawl space? They really give you a sense of how your home's using energy and helps you understand about the heating systems and the appliances and other factors that might be influencing how your home is using that energy. And so during the visit, you can ask the questions you might have. You can get a list of personalized next steps that might be the easiest step one for you. And then maybe down the road, step four, step five, those are the bigger picture things you can work on and you can build up to. So virtual home energy visit is a great way for anyone to really learn more about their home. And you can sign up on efficiencyvermont.com for one of these free visits.
That's spectacular. I was not aware that you were doing that. My wife's parents lived in Massachusetts, and their utility came to their house and did one of those. And it was amazing. The things that you thought you'd want to do in that house weren't the easy and cheap things, and they weren't the most effective things. And it was, you know, less than half an hour, and you came out with a new picture of where to go now and where to go in the future. That's marvelous. So you go to Efficiency Vermont's website and
that's right.
Find it there.
EfficiencyVermont.com. You can search for a home energy visit, or we have a phone number on our website. that you can call anytime. The folks answering those phones are right here in Vermont. I can give that phone number now, Henry, or
sure.
Maybe you'll put that on the website.
I'll put it in the notes as well, but by all means.
Great. Yeah, it's a toll-free number. It's 888-921-5990. And I learned from my career in radio, Henry, to also say those numbers again so folks have a chance to grab a pen or a pencil and write that down. So the number again, 888-921-5990. Call that number and ask for a free virtual home energy visit, and the Efficiency Vermont folks will get you set up.
Excellent. Well, that's almost a corker. I mean, you don't have to do anything else. We just need to do that first step, and we're on our way.
Well, I do have that list of no cost. Sure. So again, this is maybe this is applicable to your home, to your rental unit. Maybe it's not. So, you know, it's hard to do a one-size-fits-all for anything in Vermont, especially when it comes to homes. But here's a list, Henry. Like you said, we had talked about ways you can get your home ready for winter. So I think step one would be preparing your doors and windows for the colder months. And what does that mean, prepare those doors and windows? Well, it means you can do some air sealing around your windows, add weather stripping to your doors, really ways you seal those cracks between the door and the window, or rather the door in the building or the window in the building, so that the cold air is not coming in and the warm air is not going out. Another thing to do to prepare those windows and doors, put storm windows down or window inserts if you have them. Those can really help kind of block that transfer of warm air to the outside and the cold air to the inside. You can also move furniture, carpets, drapes, anything else that might impede the flow of that nice warm air around the room so you don't get those cold spots or those drafts. And really, these are some simple do-it-yourself things you can take advantage of to kind of get those windows and doors ready. I'm ready to go to the next one, Henry, if you want me to just keep going.
Sure. Yeah, let's move on. That's good.
Yeah, so after you kind of take a look at those windows and doors, think about how you keep the temperature in your home. And, you know, for me, I ended up replacing an old thermostat, a dumb thermostat, where I could just change the temperature up or down. And I think it was $30 or $40, I got a programmable thermostat. And this wasn't something that uses the Wi-Fi or anything like that. It's not a smart thermostat. It was just something where I could tell it, I'll be home at this time, so I want the temperature at this temperature. And when I'm away from home, set the temperature down a couple degrees so I'm not having a fully heated home while I'm at work, or if I know I'm going to be away on the weekends or something like that. So, you know, if you decrease the temperature for lower when you're not there, maybe 7 to 10 degrees, if you're going to be out for work, or maybe even setting it cooler while you're sleeping. You know, you often can sleep better when the temperature is a little cooler. That's a great way to save energy, and you're not using as much energy or heat during the day when you're not there or when you're sleeping. So again, that's a programmable thermostat or a smart thermostat. Smart thermostats, Efficiency Vermont also has some rebates available to make those more affordable.
Nice.
What do you think, Henry? Should I keep going?
Yeah, just comment on that. I remember researching this quite a number of years ago, and I know in the house that I live in, I like sleeping in a fairly cool bedroom. And
yeah.
The reason, if you set, I've forgotten what the numbers are now, but if you set your house temperature back, say, 8 degrees for overnight or while you're at work, the energy savings are substantial. They're like 5 or 10% off your energy bill if you can do that both times, and you can have the heat turned back on an hour before you get home or something like that, so the house is sort of mostly back up to temperature before you either wake up or come home from work.
Yeah, and there's even research from the National Sleep Foundation that people sleep better when the temperature is cooler, actually between 60 and 67 degrees. So if you keep your home warmer when you're there, consider setting it back to those cooler temperatures while you're sleeping. It's easy to add a blanket or an electric blanket even if you're really worried about being chilly, but it won't spend as much energy keeping the whole home at that higher temperature. Yeah, and another benefit of these, Henry, for me, I know our schedule is very different on the weekend. So we were able to set a schedule for the weekday. And then on the weekend, the temperatures are different. The time we might be leaving the home is different. So you can really set it to whatever your schedule is.
Yeah. And at least the one in the house that I'm living in has an override. You can just, if you want it warmer than what it is, you just hit the up button and it for that. It doesn't change the program. It just makes it because your schedule has changed or you're feeling a little cold or warm that day, you can change it up or down for that block of time that you're in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, on to others.
Yeah, well, here's another big one. Using less hot water, or maybe we could say being, you know, smart about how you use your hot water. Water heating can often be the second biggest use of energy in a home. Outside of space heating, the energy you're using to keep the rooms the right temperature. So there are a couple different ways to think about, you know, reducing how much energy you're using for hot water. One of the simplest, and if you're a renter, you might need to talk to your rental property owner to access your water heater, but it's setting back that temperature to a lower temperature. Oftentimes, water heaters keep the water at 140 degrees. And you can set that back actually to 120 degrees, which is high enough to kill bacteria, but not hotter than necessary. This is really something you want to talk to the rental property owner about if you are a renter, because there might be a mixing valve involved and you want to make sure you're keeping the temperature in that tank high enough, like I said, to kill bacteria. But you can set that temperature back to whatever is comfortable for you, and that can be a way to save some energy.
And
then
just,
there's some more comments. Oh,
yeah,
ahead.
Yeah, and just that higher temperature in the hot water heater does have to be mixed with cold water or something to get the temperature down, because anything over 125 degrees, you can't hold your hand in. So
yeah.
All you're doing is you're making it so the water tank isn't behaving as though it's quite as big as it does now. So if you had three young teenagers and they take long showers, you may need to leave the temperature of your hot water heater up. But otherwise, time to save money or re-educate the kids.
Yeah. If you can keep folks to 5-minute showers, I need to buy your book, Henry, because that is not happening in my house. Yeah, and that's why it is important if you're a homeowner, you can make these choices for yourself. Renters, unfortunately, often don't have the opportunity to make these choices about their living space. They might not have access to that water heater. So it's important to have that conversation with your landlord, because if you set it to one temperature and it doesn't cut it, if it's not providing enough hot water for your home, and that can be in the kitchen, in the bathroom, in the laundry room, if you have on-site laundry as a renter, you want to make sure it's meeting your needs first. So you might have to try one temperature and then toggle to a different one if it's not quite warm enough or not enough hot water. So adjusting the temperature that your water heater is keeping hot water at is a big way to save energy. Then there's some more common sense ones, like try and take shorter showers. You can use low flow shower heads that will use fewer gallons per minute than, you know, what might be there as a stock shower head. If you're doing dishes by hand, make sure you're filling the sink with soapy water instead of just leaving the water running. If you're using a dishwasher, prioritize using full loads for the dishwasher. Same for on-site laundry, full loads of laundry to get the most out of any hot water you might be using if you're doing your clothes in hot water. So just some things like that to be smart about the hot water usage.
And warm water washes or something in the 70s or something like that doesn't have to be really hot water in order for detergent to do a good job to cleaning. It's just the, if you really want to kill bacteria in clothing, then doing a hot water wash is a way of doing that. If it's, obviously, if it's white things you're doing, you can hit it with a little Clorox and that'll kill the bacteria and you don't have to crank the temperature up.
That's right. And in fact, unless it's a particularly soiled piece of laundry, I try and do all my clothes in cold water, just using less energy that way.
Yeah. I run mine on cold water, but my cold water, by the time it gets to the washing machine, has spent some time in the house so that it isn't really well temperature. It's been tempered a bit, and clothes get clean. All right, that's excellent stuff, and I think it's important to realize you don't have to be a Spartan if you're cutting your shower time down. If you don't have to sing the complete opera in the shower, and still have had a good shower.
Yeah, I agree. I think if you've had a hard day at work and you just need a nice, long, hot shower, have that nice, long, hot shower. That actually leads me to my next suggestion, Henry, which is something that I think can often get overlooked these days, especially for folks who might be renting and might not have replaced or installed the lighting fixtures in their unit. Switching to LEDs, LED bulbs, LED light fixtures, it's a tremendous way to use less energy and get the exact same light that you need. And, LEDs are more accessible than ever. They're more available as kind of the default in the store. And you just go to buy some new light bulbs.
And the color quality of the new LEDs is really quite good. Do some experimenting. If you don't like the color of one manufacturer's, try somebody else's. But the best of them are very, very nice light to live with.
Yeah, I took probably 3 or 4 trips to the hardware store for my last lighting installation, Henry, to find the right lamp, the light bulb that had like that kind of yellowish candlelight glow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what my wife and I wanted in that light fixture in the kitchen. So some of them are adjustable. Some of them are just one color, and you can find the one that suits your environment. Also, in addition to being tremendously more energy efficient for light bulbs, and even more efficient than the kind of screwy compact fluorescent bulbs that people might remember, LED bulbs last a lot longer, up to 50,000 hours of operational life. The traditional, compact fluorescent bulbs are lasting maybe 10,000 hours. So that's a significant increase. And incandescent bulbs, the ones that we've had, going back decades, those last just 2,000 hours. So LEDs really will last a lot, lot longer and be using a lot less energy.
And my experience is the occasional one will die on you prematurely, but in general, you don't have to change light bulbs anymore. It's just almost forever light bulbs.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think I had one LED light kind of die early, and I think it might have something more to do with the socket and the age of the lamp than the bulb itself.
Yeah, the LEDs don't like being in a place where the heat from the fixture is being trapped and they get roasted. They don't like high temperatures. So ceiling fixtures and things can give you trouble with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else on your list? That's LEDs. I just like ground source heat pumps are come out maybe as much as 6 or 8 times more efficient than doing resistance electric heating. And you go to LEDs and they're that same sort of number. They're about if you still have old bulbs that get hot when they burn, the old-fashioned incandescents, a lot of times they're in floodlights still. And you switch them out to an LED, and they're about six times as efficient. If you're trying to keep your chicken water from freezing, they don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, that is something to consider. You know, the LED bulbs are not generating heat. So, you know, in certain situations like grow lights and other applications, they might not be an exact one-to-one replacement. But that's, I think, getting into the weeds for most folks. The LED bulbs you see at the supermarket or the hardware store, they are a one-to-one replacement for the bulbs that, you know, even those tubular bulbs, you might have fluorescent lights in a garage or a basement or something. You can get LEDs that, you know, fit into the existing fixtures, and they'll, again, last much, much longer and give you the same amount of light for a lot less energy.
Yeah, I redid my shop fixtures with LED bulbs, and they had a side benefit. They were instant on. It wasn't sort of flickering and lighting up. It was,
right.
It was up, I'm on. And they were brighter.
Mine also came, they're dimmable. So in the middle of summer, even when I flip that switch, they're not turning on as bright because I don't need it because I've got light coming through the window in the garage. So,
yeah, that's very nice. Any other tricks in that that tool bag?
Yeah, well, I want to make sure we have a little bit of time to talk about some of the, you know, weatherization rebates and incentives we have. But real quick, I'll just mention a few others. You know, again, low cost, low effort changes. Clean the filters in your home and clean around the ducts, coils, and vents in your home. Like, I'm thinking dryer vents, vents in your kitchen, bathroom, and any registers where the heat might be coming out of from your heating system. If you clean around those, replace air filters in any of those systems, vacuum, just keep it tidy, you'll really improve the efficiency of these systems, and that will keep them working and providing as much heat and comfort as possible. Another quick one, use curtains and shades. You know, it might sound kind of obvious, but windows transfer heat, and using curtains and shades can use less energy to maintain that comfortable temperature inside. So in the winter, open your curtains or blinds during the day and close them at night to keep as much of that warm air inside as you can. And you can do the opposite in summer. Close the windows and shades during the day to keep some of that hot sunlight out. And one last thing, Henry, reducing the power from idling electronics. You know, if you've got electronics that are drawing energy even after you've turned them off, you know, for most households in the U.S., that's anywhere from $150 to $160 a year on what's called idle loads, just sitting there, not really doing anything. So you can unplug things like printers, you know, cable boxes, other appliances that are not, that might be sitting idle on your bookshelf, on your entertainment center, in the kitchen, things like that. You can also consider an advanced power strip that might turn those electronics all the way off when they're not being used. That's another way to kind of see some small savings that really do add up over time.
Yeah, anything that is drawing power all the time really adds up because it's 24 hours. You can cook a slice of toast and draw an enormous amount of power to do it, but it's all over in 2.5 minutes or whatever. And
right.
That continual draw, I would throw in that if you have any heat tapes anywhere, make sure they're covered with insulation and that they are on thermostats so they turn off when they aren't needed. They're enormous energy hogs if they... And probably your home, that home efficiency tour that you're offering would pick up a lot of those things.
Absolutely, yeah. I think what we've just discussed is probably some of the, you know, the low-hanging fruit. I think our energy consultants would say some easy changes folks can make to save energy. But it's when you get that expert eyes on your heating system or your attic insulation or what have you, that's where you can really consider the big picture, thinking of your whole home as a system and how you can improve that system for energy efficiency.
Yeah, do you want to talk about rebates or any of those things? We can spend another 5 minutes if we want.
Sure.
3 minutes,
well,
maybe?
You know, I'll be quick, I promise. First, you know, we do have a lot of rebates available for weatherization projects, but I want to stress, you know, if folks are, there is free weatherization available for low-income households in the state of Vermont. Your listeners in the Royalton area, they would be turning to an agency like Capstone Community Action. They're part of the weatherization assistance program that, like I said, serves comprehensive weatherization for low-income households for free. So if you fall into that low-income category, and you can find those categories on the Efficiency Vermont website, contact Capstone, ask about their weatherization services. You can, if you're income eligible, you can get those for free, and that's a critical resource for folks.
What does income eligible mean? How
income eligible?
Do you know how high it is? How high
it varies by county. Every county has a different income for low and moderate income. It's based on how much money that household is bringing in, how many people are in that household. Is it four? Is it eight? And other factors. So I can't say low income for Vermont is this.
Talk
to them. And there's five of these weatherization assistance programs across the state. There's a list on Efficiency Vermont's website. You can call Efficiency Vermont, and we can connect you to them if you're eligible. So they're a great resource. We can't sing their praises enough. They're a great partner for our button-up work. But real quick, I'm going to talk about the rebates we do have from Efficiency Vermont for weatherization. One of them is pretty straightforward. It's a $100 do-it-yourself weatherization rebate. If you complete a single project, you can get $100 cash back for doing that project. That's one $100 rebate per residence per year. So that's the limitation on that. But that's something like, you know, replacing a window or a door or adding that weather stripping we talked about. You can get those covered by that $100 do-it-yourself weatherization rebate. But really, when we're talking about weatherization, it's not a do-it-yourself project, Henry.
No.
You really do need somebody who's a professional who understands the building science and how changes in one aspect of your home, like your heating system or how airtight it is, will impact other aspects of your home, like moisture, indoor air quality, health and safety, things like that. So that's where our home performance weatherization rebate comes in. Efficiency Vermont's rebate there offers up to $9,500 for folks doing a comprehensive weatherization project. Up to 90% of costs for low-income households, 75% of costs for higher incomes. And again, this is comprehensive weatherization through a contractor in our Efficiency Excellence Network. These are folks who are certified to address not just insulation and air sealing, but also moisture management, ventilation, health and safety concerns from a project. So they do it soup to nuts, top to bottom. And like I said, that's a great comprehensive approach to buttoning up a home with that comprehensive weatherization.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us on Green Zine and Efficiency Vermont Button Up. Well, if you Google that, you'll be on their website, and we'll put those links in our notes.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Henry, and always happy to talk weatherization and efficiency.
All right, excellent. Thank you so much. Bye bye.
Take care.
Yeah. So there's that one. There is an upcoming event, which I will put in our notes, how to retrieve the biosphere and cool the earth with Rob DeLate. And next week, we will be having we'll be featuring, I'm terrible on remembering names, Dr. Kimberly Nicholas, and we'll be talking about how to become an energy hero and an app that she's put together called Shift. And super high impact work you can do. And it's easy, and it gives you ideas for things that tickle your fancy. Oh, yeah, I could do that. I'd like to do that. So until next week, it's been great having you on Green Zine. And If I can organize it, we'll go out with a piece of music.